maintenance is very important. If we can relate to that, we think about our cars, we think about our houses, we think about other things that we might have in our possession. If we don't maintain those things, then things won't get better. They'll actually get worse. I know with an automobile, the oil needs to be changed. You know, the specialist says 3,000 miles. You know, that might not be necessary. But it's good to follow directions and do the maintenance.
Yeah.
Now, this also holds true concerning our new heart. And when a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, he becomes a child of God and he has a new heart.
Right.
And when we think about that, we think about we are a new creature. We have a new beginning. We have a brand new start. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Also in Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 15th verse, it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. In Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 15th verse, it says this, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse, it says this, and now put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him and created him. Now, by easy, I guess, understanding of the heart would be, it stands for man's entire mental and moral activity. When we think about the heart and being a new creature and having a new heart, God deals with us through our heart. Our heart contains our spiritual creation. Now, once a person has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, he has a new spiritual birth, a new creature. Know this. Before a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, he is condemned. He's dead before God.
Right.
Only when we have the new creation, God puts within us a new heart, that we can serve God. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But when we think about the heart, we think about the inward and inward man. In other words, the heart is used figuratively for the hidden springs of personal life. When you think about someone, if they're a vile person, if they're a mean person, we find that that activity comes from their heart. But God, when we have the new birth, we have the new creation, he puts within us a brand new set of desires.
Yeah.
Now, one of the reasons why you know you're a child of God is because you want to serve God. A person that's not a child of God is an enemy of God, and he don't want to serve God. You know, you witness to people and talk to people about accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And you find a lot of people says, I'm good. I'm good. You know, that's a favorite saying today. I'm good. And they don't want to accept God and God's call to their life. But when one accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, God puts within him new desires guided by the Spirit. Matthew, the 15th chapter, the 19th and 20th verse says this, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man from the heart. So God gives us a brand new heart. He gives us a desire to serve Him. Talk a little more about that later. Romans, the 2nd chapter and the 15th verse says this, which show the works of the law written in their hearts. The heart, lying deep within, contains the hidden man. You can't see my heart. You don't know whether I'm a born-again child of God or not. You can't see the inward man. You can't see what God has placed within me. But from the fruits and the way that I live my life, and the, I guess, the influence of the inward man in my life, in my daily walk, you can tell that I'm either a child of God or a child of the devil. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 4th verse says this, but let it be hidden, the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So out of the heart comes man's true character.
Yep.
Let me say this, and say it, I guess, want to get into the thought a little bit deeper, but just to leave this thought. We have a whole different character when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the personal Savior. And that's not to say everything I do is right, because it's not. But there is a desire within me, because I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve God and follow His guidance. Now, the more that we understand the meaning of the heart, the inward man, we find that the New Testament gives us several attributes of the new heart and of the heart. It talks about the heart being the seat of grief. It's always been amazing to me. If we have joy, we feel good right here. That's amazing, eh?
Yes, sir.
It's a heart.
Right.
If we have grief, we have a problem right here. You know, can't hardly swallow, can't hardly breathe. When the God talks about the heart, of course, when we think about the heart, we think about the physical heart that pumps blood throughout our body. But it's amazing to me. If I'm happy, I feel good right here. If I'm grieving, I feel bad right here. And so that's amazing to me. But anyway, when the Bible talks about the heart, it talks about the seed of grief, the seed of joy, the seed of desires. Now, when I think about desires, when I think about what God puts within me, I think about, I guess, have I got the right desire? If I'm not, I need to work on that. Because the desires of the heart, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in a minute, the desires of the heart should be such as to serve God and do His will in our life. The New Testament talks about it's a seed of affection. It's a seed of perception. It's a seed of thought. It's a seed of understanding. It's a seed of reasoning power. It's a seed of imagination. It's a seed of consciousness. It's a seed of intention. It's a seed of purpose. It's a seed of will. It's a seed of faith. And we could go on and on about what the Bible has to say about the heart. But in all these cases, it's very important that we allow God to guide and have control of our heart.
Right.
Now, so, the title of this lesson is Maintaining the New Heart. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, if you would turn there, and we'll read 14 through 16. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that you in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evil doers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So, we talk about our life in Christ. That's what conversation means, by the way, in the Bible. Talking about the way of life that we live. Following the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be people that's going to give you a hard time. Maybe today, worse than ever. I mean, when I was growing up, which has been quite a while ago now, but when I was growing up, man was a little bit afraid. He had some regard for God, have regard for godly things and godly men and godly women. And he didn't dare to say anything against it. I don't care how evil a person is, in most cases, he had some, I guess, way that he would respect them, and he was respectful toward them and respectful of things of God. Now, as we've already pointed out, the Christians are made a new creation. Again, let me remind you, we don't have a spiritual nature before we're born again. When we are saved, when we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, He puts within us a new spirit.
Yeah.
The way God communicates with us is through that spirit.
Yeah.
Now, I know that you'll hear a lot of things that's said today, you know, and you hear people that God could, communicate with you if you give Him $1,000. Or if you do this or you do that. But God communicates with us in the new spirit that He creates within us when we're born again.
Amen.
Now, having a new heart don't mean that we always use it. It means, we have a new heart with a nature whereby that we can serve God. Now, the worldly man cannot serve God. You know, there's a lot of times I think God looks favorable on people that do the right thing. Don't misunderstand me, but not in salvation. I think God looks favorable for a worldly man that lives a good moral life. I think God looks favorable toward that. And I think that God will make a way that he might hear how to be saved.
Sure.
But we have the ability as a child of God to please him when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Now, again, we don't always use our new heart the way it should be used. We can choose not to use it. My brother Jimmy has brought this out many times. God don't force anybody to do anything. And we have choice. I think I've heard Brother Jimmy say he's a gentleman. He don't force people to do things. But he encourages us and he will guide us toward doing your good. He encourages us to go back in. And he gives a story after story and example after example. In the Old Testament especially, here's what will happen to you if you obey. Here's what will happen to you if you don't obey.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I got a friend and shared this before, but I got a friend. He said, one of the things I get out of the Old Testament, what it means, serve God, and what he'll do if you serve him, and what he won't, and what he'll do if you don't serve him. But we have a choice. We can accept him. We can follow his guidance. Or we can not. We can begin to serve God. And I might change that word to Lord. The same, by the way. And then quit. We can partially serve the Lord and be partially unfaithful to the Lord. A lot of different areas we can be in.
Sure.
I mean, you can give him a little bit. And I'm not talking about giving him money. I'm talking about giving him ourselves. Giving to his will. Or you can hold back. You know, you say, okay, I'm going to go to church 3 times a week. That's enough. Well, that's good to go to church. But that's not where it ain't.
Right.
Again, this church is, and this ministry is the lighthouse of this community. What do you mean by that? We tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You know, I think about a whole lot. The little signs and things that we have on our automobile. A lot of people might turn their noses up and putting those kinds of things. There's little magnets that we're going, I know on the tailgate of my truck, I got a couple, you know. You see them on most of your car. And asking people to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's what it's all about. And I'm thankful that we've got a congregation that does just that. Share the Lord Jesus Christ with the world. I meet people and talk to me and they say, where do you go to church? Well, I don't church, which is wrote Pilgrim Baptist. Oh yeah, I heard about Pilgrim Baptist. They have these evangel, some of them they talk about the tent, some of them even talk about the church and how that it's involved with it, with the ministry of this area. You know, it kind of makes you feel good. And but you can serve or you cannot serve. God won't make you. He might bless you if you do. And he will bless you. I won't say he might, he will. So, you have to excuse me, I'm having problems with allergies. I guess you can tell that. So, we then must make a real effort to sanctify our heart. Make sure our heart is following God and God's will. We must make a commitment then to live for the Lord. I've had times in my life, you know, I've been closer to the Lord. I'm sure you're the same way. Closer to the Lord than was another time. A new Christian that may be motivated at first because he has had the weight of his sin taken from him, he may be motivated to serve the Lord. And it's a good thing. He's got eternal life. Now, I know we're living in a world today where anyone that dies, they went to hell. I don't care what kind of life they lived or whether they had testimony of salvation in the Lord, whatever the situation. But everybody goes to heaven in this worldly view. And that's just not so. But when a person first becomes a child of God, he has a lot of encouragement within. And he may take off serving God with all of his might. But we must make a real effort, an honest effort, to make sure our heart is giving us the right direction. Now, the support of new friends, other Christians in the church, encouraging the new creation within a person. I'm reminded of talking to some people who don't know anything about the Bible at all. And they might accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal and Savior. They need help understanding the Word of God. So we must give them a hand in understanding God's Word. It might be through some kind of class or Bible study. I know there's a lot of people who have Bible study. That a person might become stronger in the Lord. You know, I've given this example so many times, but I remember one time telling somebody in the jail ministry, Revelation. And they started in front of the Bible. They didn't know anything about the Bible. Now, a person might accept the Lord Jesus Christ, don't know anything about the Bible, don't know anything about God.
Sure.
They need help.
Sure.
We don't just need to set them off in the world and just say, there,
right.
It's all yours.
Right.
Too many times we do that. Too many times we do that. We need the help of each other as Christians. Encouragement. So, if a new believer is not part of a local church, learning the Bible and making a real personal effort to use what he's learned, he can become ineffective. That holds true for any of them. So it's important that the new Christian have the encouragement and support of the local church. I kind of hesitate to use this example, but it's a good example. Newly married couples, many Christians live a while, and with the, I guess, the emotions of what's just happened in their life, whether it be marriage, whether it be our spiritual nature, whether it be, and that is encouraging to them. But as time goes on and things become hard, they might push that aside. The newness wears off. And we find that a lot of times that's what happened in marriages. The substance wasn't there. The commitment wasn't there. And so the marriage suffers because of it. And the Christian life also suffers because of lack of commitment. Making commitment to the Lord, to live for Him in gratitude for His saving us and giving us eternal life is vital and a strong service for the Lord. Now, for the rest of the time this morning, I want to go into some scriptures that gives us some help in maintaining our heart. That's what it's all about. That's what the lesson's all about. Number one, we find in 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, in the 12th and 13th verse, it tells us that we can have help by loving one another. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints, loving one another. You know, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, there should be a strong, strong bond there. We should be able to, have a relationship of love. And you see so many church groups, they have a decisive that relationship with each other. I don't like that, or I don't like that. That's not the way Christians should be. Christians should have a loving nature. That's not to say we'll always agree on everything, but we should do it in love. So, a help for us to maintain a good heart is by loving one another. We've seen example after example where hate has come into play. I heard one, one congregation that was, at odds with another congregation. One of them was on one side of the river, and one of them was on the other side of the river, and they sang songs to each other. There was hate, there was bitterness between the two congregations. That's not good. But we as Christians and loving each other, and we've seen that in even our own personal life. We've seen things that come up, you know, somebody, they don't like the color of the carpet. So they just break the church up. Sure. And because of the color of the carpet. You know, set on what color the pew should be or the carpet should be. I'm thankful that we got what we've got.
Right.
Now last Sunday it got a little bit hot in here. I kind of like to have a little bit bigger air conditioner. I mean, you get this auditorium full of people, and they put off a lot of heat. So, you know, you start thinking about things like that, but I'm thankful for what we do have.
Yeah.
It's comfortable here this morning. It's a dry place, you know. Came in here one time 3 or 4 years ago, come a little storm, and there's, of course, you can see them if you look real close. You can see the spots of where about half the shingle blew off one side of the building. Just been put on. We just had the new shingle put on maybe less than a year before that. And a storm came through and blew about half of them off. So we had to recover that side. Of course, we've tried to patch this up as best we could. But anyway, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what God has given us as congregation, as brothers and sisters in the Lord. But we should always love one another. If there is a problem in our relationship, we need to get it right. Loving one another. That'll help us maintain our heart. We don't need a grudgingly heart. We don't need a bitter heart. But we need a loving heart.
Good preacher.
Loving heart. Then, fleeing lust. We've all got desires. See, when we become a new creature, God puts within us a new spiritual nature. But we still got the old fleshly nature there. We got the fleshly lust. We got the fleshly desires. We got the appetites of the flesh. Now, Paul wrote a lot about this. He said, I've got to defeat the natural desires, the natural lust. I need to follow after the spiritual, the new creation God put within me, not what my body, that natural, might be wanting. You know, I've found in my own personal life, the more I eat, the more wanting. That's a desire there, see. And the less I eat, the less I want to eat. Over the last month or so, I don't know if you've had it or not, I've lost about somewhere around 25 pounds. My daughter's also lost a lot of course, things that we've gone through and in our family. But I've lost somewhere between 20 and 25 pounds. I found that most of my pants is too loose now. And I need to lose some more, by the way, but I'm down now to somewhere around 215 pounds. I know when I got out of the service, and I would say that when I was in the service, I might have been in as good a shape as I ever been in my life because of the exercise, kind of diets that I was on, and so on and so forth. About 200 pounds. 6'1", 200 pounds. But anyway, I'm thankful. But God, I found in not eating so much, I don't want to eat as much. Same way, if I eat a lot, I want to eat more. That's the desire of the fleshly nature, by the way.
Sure.
Not the spiritual nature. God put within us a nature to serve Him. That's the spiritual nature. Now, a person of the world don't have that nature. They've got the old fleshly nature, and that's it. They don't have the spiritual nature. That's what God says when He puts in within us a new spiritual nature, a new creature. Brand new. But now, know that the world, the unsaved, they don't have spiritual nature. Now, God will speak to them through leadership of the Holy Spirit, but not through the new nature because they don't have the new nature. So what does 2 Timothy tell us in the 2nd chapter and the 22nd verse? It says, flee also youthful lust. And we think about lust. Let's kind of think about desire. Our natural desire. That's what it is. The natural desire. Not the spiritual desire. God put within us a spiritual nature to serve Him. We're talking about the natural desire. So, flee also youthful lust. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So, we are to flee the natural desires of the body. That's not to say that we can get rid of them, but anything that's not in the will of God, we need to get rid of. Now, the world don't have this opportunity. They can't get out of the natural. God gave us the opportunity by creating within us a new spiritual creation that we might be servants to Him. The third thing, is we can have help by not hardening our heart. Hardening our hearts to God's conviction. God convicts us. You know, and Brother Jimmy's done a wonderful job in recent weeks of explaining this. God wants to serve Him. He blesses us for serving. But any man don't do nothing to us. for not serving. But he gives. He gives us blessings.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, Brother Jimmy, I was watching him when he was over there with the rainbow crowd. I was kind of giving him a hard time. Punching at him, you know. Kept telling him, he said, don't touch me. You know. And, but we go through those hardships, but I'll guarantee you, Brother Jimmy got a blessing out of that. Personally. For serving the Lord. For going the extra mile. If you ever serve the Lord, you've got a blessing for it too.
Praise the Lord.
But that's what God does. But, not hardening the heart. There's an example in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. It's an example of Israel serving the Lord and not serving him and being convicted by the Lord. But we should continually open our hearts to God's conviction. When God convicts us for something, we need to flee from that. Turn our hearts toward him. Now, if a person is never convicted for doing wrong, I doubt very seriously if he's a child of God. How many times have you ever done anything and God brought it to your attention immediately? Convicting you. But when we have those convictions, we return on, and that's the way we have help to maintain our heart. So we find in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, and I'll let you read it on your own when you have time, but the 3rd chapter, 12 through the 17th verse, take heed, brother. He was speaking to Israel in this case. So, don't harden your heart. When God convicts you, make amends. Make amends.
Yeah.
Then by living by the word of God. Hebrews again, the 4th chapter says this. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of that of the heart. So, the word of God. Now, the older we get, the more precious the promises of God is to us. You know, by all promises from God, I've already lived my limited time here on earth. I think it's appointed a man wants to die, you know. I'm thankful for it. I hope to live many more years. Don't know how long it'll be. But the older I get, the closer I am to heaven. The older I get, the closer I am to eternal life. The older I get, the closer I come to escaping this world.
Good teaching.
So, the Word of God becomes more precious, and I'm thankful for the promises He gives us. You know, I just read a few minutes ago, when Christ comes back with His saints, we'll be one of those saints. How about you?
Praise God.
When Christ comes back with His saints, I'm going to be one of them. Hopefully everyone in here is one. I'm thankful for that. I've heard a lot of good sermons on passing from this life to eternal life. I've seen a lot of different examples. There's one example I can relate to is when you leave this life, Christ is waiting for you. And there's a door that you go through. That's talking about death. Christ is on the other side of that door. That may not be a good example, but it is. It's very comforting to me knowing that Christ is there no matter what. So, we need to live by the Word of God. Here in Hebrews, it tells us that God's Word is sufficient. Now, let me remind you of this. God says every word that He spoke, and you know, Brother Jimmy has been teaching on King James Version, the Bible, the Word of God, preserved Word of God, so on and so forth. And I was teaching a little bit on the Word of God. I kind of sidestepped, but I don't want to cross paths with him. That's kind of the reason I deviated from the life lesson. But the Word of God will never be false. It'll always be true. The Word of God will stand eternally. Never end. God spoke it. You can base your eternity on that Word. Because God's Word will always be true. It will never be false. Now, I know there's people today who say, well, that's not really translated correctly. It'd be better to be translated this way. I don't have a problem with a person thinking that way. If he wants to think that way, most of the time, it's close. But I am thoroughly convinced that I want the true Word. I don't want any worldly influence on the Word of God. If God spoke it, I want to believe it, and that's one of the reasons why I'm also King James Version. That's the Word of God to me, through thing that's basically speaking people. I want to make sure that I'm reading the right thing. Brother Jimmy brought to our attention the last couple of lessons on this, brought to our attention how some have deviated from King James Version in their translation. And how different than it is. And it would even behoove me to think about, well, would that change the way that I think about that verse and that application? Sure. That's what's intended and misinterpreted in the Word.
Yeah.
Want to change it.
Sure.
You know, we got a country now that, when they think about things of this country, anything goes. I mean, this crowd really tore up now because they say it's not been done, but they say that abortion's been done away with. No longer lawful. Well, it's taken it out of the federal hand, but it's put it in the state hands. It's also, they're passing laws that you can't keep a person from going from state to state. Abortion's still real in this country. I noticed, I'm not listening to it yet, but I noticed one of Brother Jimmy's messages, the Holocaust in the United States. So I think maybe it's the last message or so he preached. But I'm going to listen to that. But anyway, we're living in that kind of place. So anything goes.
Sure.
But we are to live by the Word of God. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's good. So we can have help in maintaining a heart by studying God's Word. Asking God to show us what He'd have us get from His Word. Here's something else that's very, very amazing to me. You know, I've read verses hundreds of times, the same verse, you know, over and over, year after year. And this time I read it, man, blind. What I got from that verse that I never got before. God speaks to it, asking God to help us to apply this to our life. So it's important that we study the Word of God. So, we have helps in maintaining our heart. And we should always draw as close to the Lord as we can. Be as close to Him as we possibly can. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, starting with the 19th verse, and I'll let you read that later on. But having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. We, when we accept the Lord Jesus, what a gift. When we think about the gifts that we get, a lot of times people get gifts, and they think, well, that's a pretty good gift. There's never been a gift like the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. There's never been love shown forth to man like that. And so, when we think about that, drawing as near as we possibly can to that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His guidance on our life, it'll help us maintain a true heart, a true spiritual heart. So, in John, the 3rd chapter, 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 19th verse, we read this. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. By trusting Him, by living in assurance of our salvation, we can be stronger in our heart. Going back to our childhood, we think a lot of times about how that we follow the advice of our parents and their guidance in their life. And they had a lot of, especially in my day, they had a lot of influence on the way we think and the way that we act. My dad, he was very firm and stern. There wasn't none of that. I'm going to tell you right now, I won't count three. There wasn't none of that. If he told you to do something, you didn't do it. Look out! Look out! The way it was. I don't know how your childhood was, but that's the way mine was. And when I think about my childhood, I can't think many times I didn't need what I got. Because he was guiding me and he was molding my life. Putting within me attributes that I should have especially as a child of God. So, by trusting and living in the assurance of our salvation, following the leadership of the Lord, we will grow stronger and it will help us maintain our heart. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Last but not least, we want to end this little study by resisting temptation. I'm telling you, you're looking for temptation, it's there. Especially in the day that we live. I mean, you may be, from time to time, my wife talks about, well, this popped up on the computer. It'll pop, temptation is there. It'll tempt you to buy something, it'll tempt you to do this, or it'll tempt you to do that. We're living in that day. Temptation is strong. We need to be careful of that. We need to resist temptation. That's outside the will of God. Notice James, the 4th chapter, and we'll read the 7th through the 9th verse. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Resisting temptation. One of the best ways I've found to resist the devil is to open up God's Word. Just like Jesus did. Jesus quoted God's Word to the devil. He said it's written.
Yep.
See, God's Word is very strong. That's what we just read. Well, it's powerful. But the way we resist temptation, don't yield to it, but resist temptation is by following the Word.